Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be holy and pleasing and bring glory to your holy name. We ask this in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I have to have my anchor or I'll be dancing all over the place. And my wife says that's really not a good thing. Besides, Karen can't move the camera that fast, can you? Don and Debbie are off visiting family, and keep them in your prayers that they are having a peaceful visit and safe travels. So do you think that in our readings today, do you think there's any coincidence that the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles gives us an account of a miracle and a call to repent and believe in Jesus, the Messiah, author and perfecter of life, but this happened after Pentecost? And then in our gospel reading, which is, you know, starts at the day of the resurrection, but there's a promise made. So do we think possibly we're seeing God making a promise? And there's the proof. Because he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So on that first day, that Resurrection Sunday, we found the disciples that are gathered together in a locked room, and they were afraid. And by this time of the evening, Peter and John had both seen the empty tomb. The empty tomb where Jesus had laid. And they've heard of Mary's encounter with the resurrected Jesus in the garden. And most likely they've heard about the encounter of the two on the road to Emmaus. But the 10 who were gathered together here, remember it's 10 because Thomas is missing and Judas is deceased. They didn't believe any of these stories. So here they are in a locked room, full of fear, discussing these things, stories that they've heard, and probably in fear of what the authorities may be coming to do to them. Now, can you imagine what they're talking about? Can you imagine what the feeling is like, what the tension in the room is going to be like? Do you think maybe some of the words that they'd heard from Jesus just recently may be part of their conversation? A servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Or maybe it wasn't that. Or maybe also, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Might they be wondering, what did that all mean? Right here, right now. I mean, they just witnessed the brutalization of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion on a cross. They had just seen it. I'm kind of thinking they were a little worried. And they just didn't know what to think or believe, did they? I don't think they did. At least not yet. That's my favorite word. John knows that. Yet is my favorite word. Yet can change everything, can it? It can take a statement that's one of concern or one of complete defeat and pump a little hope into it. Think about it. My friend hasn't found a job. My friend hasn't found a job yet. My friend hasn't found a place to live. My friend hasn't found a place to live yet. Or maybe most importantly, my friend has not accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Yet. I heard it. We see everything right now, don't we? We see only what's right here in this very second. We don't see what God sees. He saw everything before. He sees everything after. We're stuck in this little snapshot. That's why I love yet. It gives us a future. So let's go back to the disciples. All right, so then Jesus comes to them in this locked room that's full of fear, and he offers his peace to them. But before we skip towards the end and go throw Thomas under the bus, let's consider what we just heard here. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They too, it seems, needed to see in order to believe. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Promise made. And then in our first reading, we learn about something done by the apostles after receiving the Holy Spirit. And in a gospel reading, we learned about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we also know from later readings that the disciples were to wait to receive the full power. So I have a theory, and it's a theory. And this is the theory according to Gary, who has absolutely no training. I am not a theologian. I am not a Bible scholar. I don't know much. But my theory is that they maybe got a little down payment there that evening. But the full power wouldn't come until Jesus departed, as he said. That's my theory. In either case, the promise was made and the promise was kept. He promised his Holy Spirit and he provided it. And we are given proof. We have got the proof. So back to the gospel reading. They were gathered on the eighth day, a Sunday. Kind of like we're doing today. Again, behind a locked door. We haven't locked the doors, but thank goodness we don't need to. But this time, Thomas was with them. And again, Jesus came into their midst and offered his peace. And nobody had to tell him anything. He went right to Thomas and began to speak to him. And he knew that Thomas was skeptical. And he knew, and he invited Thomas to probe his wounds with his hands and in his side. Now, we aren't actually told whether Thomas really did this or not. The only thing we are told is the statement, the most powerful statement Thomas made, "My Lord and my God." His eyes were opened, just like Mary in the garden when Jesus spoke her name. And the 10 disciples the previous Sunday evening when he showed them his wounds. And the travelers to Emmaus when Jesus showed himself in the breaking of the bread. And to those Peter preached to in the portico called Solomon's. Jesus did this. He opened their eyes, all of them. Just the same as he opens ours. Now, I know for a fact we have faced, will be facing fears and doubts in our own lives and other trials and difficulties. These are real things, real threats to our health of family or friends, fears about the future, fears of loss. How will we get by? What will happen to our kids, our grandkids? What about other fears? Fears that leave maybe not quite as important or maybe not as earth-shattering, but fears just the same. The fear of rejection, of disapproval. Fear of ridicule. Fear of not being good enough. How about the fear of being unforgivable? That we've fallen too far. And it can take the very life right out of you. So what do we do with this? What do we do with these fears? These are real. We live with them. And as we've heard just now, we are not the first to have doubts or to be afraid. Thinking back over the most difficult parts of our lives, there's some things that we can kind of look at and know. Well, for starters, if we look back at all these difficult times that we've been through already, we've survived them all so far. And when we are going through tough times, and maybe we're going through them now, what are we supposed to do? How do we get through? If we listen to the world, it says, suck it up, better days are coming. Hotter the fire, the harder the steel, or some other such useless, empty cliche that leaves us probably more offended and hurt than helped. But that's the way of the world. Jesus says something entirely different. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And like with Thomas, Jesus already knows about our fears. He knows our doubts. He knows our challenges. He knows and he cares, and he offers us his peace. He has told us to fear not, that he is always with us to the end of the age. He said that, and that he has come to give us life and to give us an abundant life. He has breathed into us his spirit and given us faith. And because he keeps his promises, we hold on to the faith given us. And our faith is the victory as we too declare, my Lord and my God. Through him we are blessed because we believe and have not seen, at least not yet. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing us this place where we can gather as your disciples did to share ourselves, our pain, our troubles, our victories, our doubts and fears with one another and with you. Thank you for giving us faith and victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.